Well, normally on Father's Day Sunday, we have a tribute. And the program committee worked on that and ran into a couple of dead ends for this Father's Day. And so there is no tribute that is scheduled. But we thought, why don't we just open it up for some sharing? So the ushers have a handheld mic. And we just asked the question, how has your father impacted your life? How would you like to give a short tribute? Like, we're just going to ask you to keep it short and give as many people an opportunity as possible. While you're thinking about that, I will maybe share a little bit about my dad and how he has impacted me. There's an old joke that goes that the previous generation thought nothing of getting up at 3 a.m. to go to work. And the present generation thinks nothing of it either. And and I say that in some ways would describe my dad. He was a trucker. He hauled potatoes from Winkler to Old Dutch and to places in Winnipeg. And so he had to have that load of potatoes in there by usually 7 a.m. And so he was often up at 3:30 a.m. And he was he always early to bed, early to rise. That was his. His motto, and hard work diligently, that was something that was very important to him. So, maybe some practical ways, maybe some life lessons, maybe something that he, in some ways your dad impacted your life. So we're just ask you to stand if you have something. The ushers will bring you a mic, and we'll just take turns. So if the mic is in a certain area, maybe you can just stand up then too, and so that way we don't have the ushers running all over. But so who would like to lead us off? Who would like to have just share? Give you that opportunity. How has your dad blessed your life? Well, I appreciate you guys, everyone sharing. And why don't we just take a few minutes just to pray for our dads and to bless our fathers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our dads. Lord, we thank you for the instruction, the examples, the guidance, the discipline, the different aspects of what they have impacted our lives. God, we thank you for them. And Lord, you call us to honor our parents. And Lord, there's much wisdom in that and much protection in that for us. And God, you said that if we would do that, it would be well with us. And Lord, I would like to pray for those whose dads maybe have not been the example that they would have liked or would have appreciated. I pray, God, that you would help them work through some of the things and find you as the perfect Heavenly Father and to be able to maybe forgive areas that that they need to forgive their dads. Where there's been maybe hurts, things said that shouldn't have been said. But God, today we do want to honor our parents. We want to especially think of our dads. And I want to thank you, God, for the many godly dads that are in this room and that have impacted people in this room. And Lord, we know they're not perfect. We know that they have failed in some way, in many ways. But God, we thank you for the lessons that they are teaching and have been teaching and the important role that they play in our lives. And so God, today we ask that you would bless the dads and Lord, just encourage them, Lord, as they have often have many responsibilities of work, in marriage and in raising children. And God, in all of that, I do pray that you would give them a special blessing and your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'd like to direct our attention to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Again, with Father's Day, it's one of those, where do I go with it? But I would like to take Samuel as a model for us as a spiritual father, in the sense he didn't maybe do the greatest when it came to raising his two sons. Samuel had two sons, and they did not walk in the ways of Samuel. And so he did have some struggles with that, but he was... became really a spiritual father to a nation. And so I just wanted to give us some thoughts from that, but I'd like to read 1 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 1 to the end of the chapter. And Samuel said to all Israel, "Behold, I have obeyed your voice in all that you have said to me, and I have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray, and behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my youth until this day.
"Here I am. Testify against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkeys have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? Testify against me, and I will restore it to you." They said, "You have not defrauded us, or oppressed us, or taken anything from any man's hand." And he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they said, "He is witness." And Samuel said to the people, "The Lord is witness who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous deeds of the Lord that he performed for you and for your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and the Egyptians oppressed them, then your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent to Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hands of our enemies, that we may serve you.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hands of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. And now behold, the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked, behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call upon the Lord that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for yourselves a king." So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil to ask for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside from empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully and with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you will still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." There's a story of a father who had a 3-year-old daughter who was having trouble sleeping through the night. She would often wake up several times in the night because she was afraid. Each time he retucked her into bed, he would remind her that Jesus was with her and that he would keep her safe. Several nights in a row, she did this over and over. She did this over and over again. Finally, one night, the dad asked her if she had prayed to Jesus to take her fear away and to help her fall asleep. "Oh, yes," she assured him. "I prayed to Jesus, and he told me to come and get you." And so I think that's maybe how fathers feel many times, and that's often the role that our dads play in our lives, right? They're there in those times when we're afraid, when we're in difficult situations. That's often when we would run to our dads for comfort, for reassurance, maybe for guidance, for different things like that. And so I think this is a little bit of an illustration of what happened with the nation of Israel and Samuel. They didn't always listen to Samuel and rebelled against some of the things that Samuel had taught them, but when they were in trouble, when the Philistines were coming, it was like, "Samuel, come and pray for us. Offer the sacrifices and pray for us," and then God would give the victory. And so that's a little bit the relationship with this. And so Samuel was, in that sense, a spiritual father to the nation. And so I want to give you just some thoughts as I've kind of equated Samuel's role for the nation of Israel and to kind of that father role that that many dads or most dads play with in the lives of their children. So first of all, Samuel was a good spiritual father, even though he did not have proper role models. Now, just because maybe you do not have, as a dad, maybe the proper role models, does not mean that you can't be a good dad. Now, you think of Samuel growing up. I mean, Samuel lived in the temple. He, his mother dedicated him to the Lord. He lived under Eli. And so, in the sense, his real dad, Elkanah, his real dad, he didn't have that close connection. Elkanah had, obviously, was a godly man. He went to the temple, offered the sacrifices that were required. But in a sense, his parents dedicated Samuel to the Lord and left him in the temple. So his real dad did not have a lot of impact in his life. So Eli, in that sense, kind of adopted him. Now, remember, Eli wasn't really the best role model for his children. It says, Scripture says that Eli's sons did not serve the Lord. And so so as Samuel's watching, Eli raised his sons, but in the meantime, Eli is raising and training him. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. And just what I want to say with this is that Samuel ended up being a good spiritual father because he walked with God and he sought the Lord. And even though he didn't always have the best earthly examples around him. And so whether you today are a dad or a father, and you say, well, maybe I didn't have the best example. Maybe my dad didn't do everything right. That doesn't mean that you can't be a good dad. That doesn't mean that you can't go to our Heavenly Father and receive His Father's heart for your children and for your family. So in that sense, I think there's a lesson here in the life of Samuel that even though he didn't always have the best role models, he still became a good spiritual father to the people of God. The other thing is, even so, Samuel was not perfect. In 1 Samuel 8, verse 3, it says, talking about Samuel's sons, his firstborn son was named Joel, and the second son was Abijah. And they actually were judging the people of God as well. And it says in verse 3 of chapter 8, his sons, Samuel's sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. So even Samuel's two sons did not follow in the ways of Samuel. And so, again, when we look at the life of Samuel as a spiritual father, there's some lessons that are here, but he was not perfect. There were some things that happened. We don't know why his sons did not walk in his ways. Did Samuel maybe not have the time to train them because of his role in ministry? We're not sure. Did they just rebel because, this is what dad does and I don't want to go that way? I don't know. I just want to bring that out there that, yes, as we look at the lessons in Samuel's life, I think there's some powerful lessons that we can learn from as being a spiritual father, but there's also some things that we want to be real with the mistakes that maybe Samuel did make as well, that we don't always know what was beyond his control and his ability to control. First of all, as I think about the Samuel as a spiritual father for the nation, Samuel, as a good father, Samuel guided the people of God through season of transition. To me, this is one of the roles, a very important role that a dad plays in the life of his children. He guides his children through seasons of transition. Now, Samuel played a very, very important role in the nation of Israel. When Samuel was a young boy, the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines into the land of the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And so that's kind of what Samuel started off with. And so a child that was born when the Ark of the Covenant was taken was named Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And so he started his life in ministry when the glory of the Lord had departed, and he ended his life in ministry anointing King David, the greatest king that was going to restore the Ark of the Covenant and the glory of God back to his people. So that's the transition that started from the glory has departed to the glory of the Lord returning to the people of God, and Samuel led in that transition. And so I think there's a spiritual lesson for us that fathers, spiritual fathers, they help their children through seasons of transition in their lives. There's lots of seasons of transition in the lives of your children. One example would be that first day of school, that a father can stabilize a child in that season of transition. There's so many different, with the days your children go off to university, they get their first job. They have disappointments in life. They get cut from the baseball team, or they get cut from the hockey team, or they lose an important game, or they're a goalie and they let that winning goal in, or there's all kinds of transition seasons in a child's life. And a father's stability and a father's role in those times of transition is huge. So in marriage, maybe seasons of spiritual transition when they come to Christ or make a decision for baptism or different things like that, fathers play that stabilizing role in seasons of transition. And so Samuel played that role of stabilizing the nation in the midst of transition that was going on. So dads, you are that rock. You are that stabilizing factor in the lives of your family and for your children. When their world is in turmoil, dad remains the same. When their world is turning upside down and stuff's happening that makes them afraid, dad is there. He's guiding them through. He's helping them through. So that, in that sense, Samuel guided the people of God through seasons of transition. Samuel brought instruction to the people of God when they wanted to be like everyone else. In 1 Samuel 8, verses 19 to 20, verse 20 actually, it says, they were saying to Samuel, make us a king. We want a king. And the reason we want a king is that we may be like all the nations. We want to be like everyone else. Now, how many dads have heard that before? We want to be like everyone else. Everyone else has it. Everybody else is doing it. And so the nation of Israel wanted to be like everyone else. All the other nations had kings, and those kings led the nation into battle. Well, we want to be like them. We just have God, and he's invisible. We don't know what to do with this. We'd like a king. He will go before us. He'll tell us what needs to be done. We want a king. We want to be like everyone else. And so I think Samuel provided some direction when they wanted to be like the nations. He says, no, you can't be like the nations. You can't be like everyone else. You are God's holy people. You are God's chosen people. And Samuel provided that direction for the people of God when they wanted to be like everyone else. And so I think those of us that are older and can look back and say, I'm thankful that my dad put some boundaries in place. I'm thankful that my dad didn't allow certain things. He didn't allow me to do certain things. Now, at the time, I probably wasn't as happy with that. And so I would just say this to the young people. When your dad is putting certain boundaries and your only recourse is, Dad, everyone else is doing it, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good enough reason. And because your parents have that boundary in place and saying, no, the people of God, our family, we are doing it different. We are not going to pattern our lives after the way everyone else is doing it. We are patterning our lives after the way God would want us to live. And so when a father hears those words, everyone else is doing it, or everyone else has it, being the latest gadget or the latest game or the latest whatever, everyone else has one of those, or everyone else is wearing that. I'm sure there's probably that discussion happening between fathers and daughters. Everyone else is wearing this. There's guidelines that fathers often place. And so Samuel brought instruction when the nation wanted to be like everyone else a father sometimes just has to stand up and say, no, this is, we believe this is what God is wanting from his people, and sets those guidelines and boundaries. That doesn't always make dads popular, but in the end, we respect them for their stance and their desire to protect us, their desire to guide our lives in a way that's important. So Samuel brought instruction when the nation wanted to be like everyone else. Samuel clarified the choices that were before the people and outlined the blessings as well as the consequences of those choices. In verses 14 and 15, Samuel says this, "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well." Now, I know that some of the translations don't have those words, but the ESV says, if you do this, you serve the Lord, you fear the Lord, you walk in his commands, you don't rebel against him, it will be well with you. And really, that was the command was to honor our parents, our father and mother. If we honor them, it will be well. God, the blessings of God will come to us. It will be well with us. And so he says, if you follow the Lord, it will be well. So this would be the path of blessing. This would be the path where God's face can shine on you if you walk in this way. But he also offered the consequences in verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. So he clearly offers the guidance. He says, if you do this, this is the path for blessing. It will be well with you, but if you rebel against God, if you don't fear him, you don't serve him, he says, the hand of the Lord will go out against you. And so that's the pattern in the nation over and over. When they would serve God, God would protect them, God would be with them, but then when they turned against him and served the idols, then the nations would come against them and defeat them. And so Samuel clarified the choices. Samuel couldn't make the nation say, this is what you need to do. He would clarify the choices, and they did have to suffer the consequences on numbers of different times. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 21, it also says, "And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit and deliver, for they are empty." And so the role of Samuel as a spiritual father said, okay, if you go this way, this is an empty way. There's no purpose in this. There's no meaning in this kind of life. This is the empty way of life. So as dads, you are training your children saying, this is the empty way. If you go this way, you will end up with an empty life with no purpose, no meaning, and no direction. And so that's really what Solomon did when he wrote Ecclesiastes. He says, this is the meaningless. If you read through the NIV, I think it would use the word meaningless. This is the meaningless way. If you do it this way, this is meaningless. It doesn't have purpose. It doesn't have guidance. It doesn't have direction. So Samuel clarifies those choices and seeks to lead them from the empty way to the way that has meaning and purpose. Then Samuel walked with integrity before the nation. In verses 2 to 5, he says, have I taken anyone's donkey? Have I taken anyone's ox? Have I defrauded them in any way? So here again, Samuel walked with, set an example. And so dads, this is so, so important. How you live, how you, the decisions you make are so important as your kids are watching. The nation had watched, they had watched Samuel as he had lived his life before them. They recognized that he had not defrauded or oppressed them or stolen anything from them or taken a bribe so that it would cloud his judgment. So I just looked, just even for some secular things on the example that fathers set for their children. And I came up, the Huffington Post had a little article on fathers setting an example. And just two little quotes I want to take from there. One was, "Girls will often look for men who hold the patterns of their fathers. They will reach for those characteristics in men." So the example that girls have seen in their dads are usually the way they will, what the examples they will look for in the men they marry. Now, I'm sure it doesn't always hold true, but that's often the pattern that happens. And then about boys, it says, boys will often model themselves after their fathers. They will look for their father's approval in everything they do and copy those behaviors that they recognize as both successful and familiar. So sons will watch their dads, and they will seek their dad's approval, and they will seek to emulate that. So it's so important. Samuel set the example, set the tone, and the children followed that tone, or sought to follow that at least, and most times that happens. So Samuel instructed the nation in the ways of the Lord in verses 13, 14. But he recounts God's past dealings with his people. And then he says, consider the great things that he has done for you in verse 24. So he gives them a history, and this is what God did. He took you out of Egypt. You were oppressed by the Egyptians. You called on God. He brought you out of there. And then he lists a number of enemies that had come up against them, and that they had prayed to the Lord. They had turned away from their sins, and God had been with them and had delivered them. And so he recounts God's past dealings with his people. And I think that's one of the things dads do. They remind us of, okay, God did this in your life. God was over here when you were, and he will help you in the future. And so he seeks to set them on the right path for their future. He reminds them of maybe where they had made mistakes or where God had been with them. And then he seeks to move them to a place in the right path for their future. Then Samuel, verses 16 to 18 is kind of interesting to me. Samuel trusted God to confirm the words that he had spoken. Now, I think one of the most powerful things is when a dad is walking with God and he speaks what he feels is the word of God to his children, whatever that word of wisdom or guidance or direction is, and then God confirms it. In this story, Samuel's telling them, okay, you asked for a king. God really is your king. And this was a rebellion to God. And so he's disciplining them for the choice they had made. And then he says, but you're hearing my words, but I want God to reveal this to you. And so he says, you know what? This is wheat harvest. And I guess in those days, wheat harvest, it didn't rain during wheat harvest. And obviously you don't want rain in harvest. But Samuel said, you know, I'm going to pray, and you're going to notice that there's going to be thunder and lightning, and there's going to be rain in this season. And so he prays, and it happens. And they are afraid. They realize they have rebelled against God. God has confirmed the words that Samuel had spoken. And so to me, when dad and God work together, that's a very, very powerful thing. And so Samuel trusted God. He said, this is the instructions he gave to the people of God, and then God confirmed that. And so, dads, you're working together with God in all of this, and that as you speak God's words and the things that God would have you to speak, or the things you think God is wanting you to speak into your lives and your kids, trust God to confirm that. Whether that's 5 years down the road and it's like God really speaks that into the hearts of your children, it's like, I've said that over and over here, but all of a sudden they get it because God has revealed it to them. That season, in this situation, it happened immediately. Probably the reality is most times it takes a season and time. So trust God to confirm the teachings that you have done, that he will reinforce those things through life lessons in the lives of your children. And so to me, there's just something about when the things that you speak into the lives of your kids, that God will, what God wants to speak into the life, that he will speak those things into their lives. He will confirm that. And so in this situation, Samuel prayed and the lightning and thunder and the rain came, and they realized, oh, this is God speaking to me. God is speaking to us through Samuel. God speaks to us through our parents, our fathers. So Samuel teaches them to fear the Lord, and then he prays for them. He says in verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way. So really the life of Samuel is a life of intercession, a life of praying for his children. I would just encourage dads to pray for your children, to continue to pray for them even in their adult years. They need your prayers and they need your blessing. The last thing I want to say out of this passage is in verse 22. Samuel had rebuked them. Samuel had corrected the people of God. But he ends off with blessing them. The blessing of a dad is incredibly important and is incredibly powerful in the lives of their children. And so even with all the rebellion that they had done, even all the things that they had done, Samuel stands up and he speaks verse 22. And to me, verse 22 is an incredibly powerful verse. It says this, "For the Lord will not forsake," "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself." He reminds them of God's pleasure. That it was God's pleasure to make you his children. And God will not forsake you. He is going to be with you. And it has been God's pleasure in your life that has brought you to this place. And so he blesses his children with that sense of promise, that sense of security, that God will be with them and that God will lead them forward from this place on. And he encouraged them in the Lord. And so with that, that kind of chapter was closed, and Saul became king, and Samuel, he was still involved, but his real involvement kind of lessened in this season of transition. So with that, I just want to encourage dads here today. I know your role is you are busy. There's demands at work. There's demands that are in ministry and in church and in so many different ways. But the role that you play in the lives of your children is so, so important. And I hope that maybe some of these thoughts from 1 Samuel will encourage you and help you and just remind you of the important role that you play in the lives of your children, and even in among spiritual children, whether you're training them in Sunday school classes or in different ways. God is working in your lives and using you, and we just want to bless dads for their work and their giving into the lives of children. So let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of Samuel. Lord, he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. And Lord, he did not have the best example that he could have learned from. But he was in touch with you, and he sought to guide the people of God through seasons of transition, to teach them the way of meaning and purpose, and to stay away from an empty life. And God, he sought to teach the people the fear of the Lord and to pray for them. And so, God, I just want to thank you today for dads that are diligent. And, Lord, that they know that their own shortcomings. And, God, I pray that you would give them grace to train and to bless and to encourage and to guide and discipline their children, that they will walk in your ways, that they will learn to fear you and not be like the nations, but, Lord, to be people that are holy in your sight and walk in your in the grace of Christ and in the teaching of the Word of God, and not rebelling against your commands. So, God, today I just ask that you would repair relationships, maybe where relationships between children and fathers is broken down. I pray, Lord, for your healing. I pray for reconciliation. I pray for the I'm sorries to happen. I pray, oh God, for healing to come in family relationships in this way. And Lord, that men will step to the plate and be the dads, be the spiritual leaders for their families that you have called them to be. So God, today I pray, bless the dads, and Lord, give them joy in serving, in ministering to their families, to their children, and training up the next generation. God, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.